You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The government announced two new initiatives aimed at moving young people out of benefit dependency and are looking to motivate them to stay in work by providing a $1,000 incentive if they are able to keep stable work for more than 12 months. In the same announcement, they stated that young adults aged 18 and 19 will no longer be eligible for job seeker payments if their parents can support them, for which they set the bar as an annual household income of just over $65,000. In addition to this, the Green Party conducted a public interview on Monday with the families of the three New Zealanders who were detained by Israel aboard the Sumud flotilla. The goal of the flotilla was to break through Israel's illegal blockade that has existed since 2007 and provide aid to those suffering in Gaza. As a result of rising tensions towards the government's stance on Gaza, Foreign Minister Winston Peters' Auckland home was vandalized on Tuesday, the day after the press conference where Chloe Swarbrick urged the government to act against Israel. Peters then blamed the vandalization, where a protester broke his window and left a note saying, "Welcome to the real world," on what he described as the radical left. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we speak to him about the vandalization of Foreign Minister Winston Peters' Auckland home, what the Green Party is asking of the government as the next step in Aotearoa's stance against Gaza, as well as the government's initiatives aimed at moving young adults towards independence. We also speak about Associate Education Minister David Seymour announcing a change to how the government contracts school attendance services.
To begin, what was the Green Party's reaction to the two new initiatives announced by the government?
Well, they're nothing short of BS. Let's make it clear, the so-called eligibility criteria that they've set means that if you're earning $67,000 as a household, so that's basically both parents earning more than around $67 combined, they won't be able to have their 18 and 19-year-old accessing a benefit. You can't live on $66,000 as a household with a young adult. It's simply unfeasible. And the Prime Minister is blaming young people for an economic crisis and an unemployment crisis that they have manufactured by cutting thousands and thousands of jobs due to the cancellation of kāinga ora projects, cuts in the public sector, and using unemployment as a tool to lower inflation.
Minister for Social Development of New Zealand Louise Upston said that going on welfare when you're young is a trap. How do you respond to that framing?
What we are seeing in the news is young people applying for jobs in a way that actually makes it impossible for them to get them. We've got cases where you've got hundreds of applicants for the very same job. We've got a situation where we've got four job seeker beneficiaries for every job ad available. And I think to punch down on young people is just not feasible. And the reality is we've got a safety net to support people during these tough times. Pulling the rug at a time of high unemployment only leads to greater poverty. And when young people enter into deep poverty, we actually make it harder for them to enter into employment and education, the very same things the government talks about that they want young people to do.
You mentioned a safety net. Do you think that this policy risks leaving some people without that? And what consequences could that have?
So if you've got an 18 and 19-year-old who is unable to access a benefit while being unemployed and living already in a household that is struggling to make ends meet, what you're effectively doing is leaving them without the means to pay for things like rent, to be able to pay your bills, and pushing people into debt. Those consequences are long-term. You're effectively making it harder for someone to get back on their feet, enter education, enter employment. And the minister also needs to realize that if she is so serious about supporting young people into employment, that she should stop the closures that we are seeing of our vocational education courses and even campuses in some cases that will leave young people in rural areas without the means to enter vocational education in the regions that they live in.
The government is offering a $1,000 payment for young people who find a job and stay off the benefit for 12 months. Does a financial incentive like this make a difference in encouraging long-term employment for young adults?
Not when there are not enough jobs available. And we also got to get real, right? I mean, $1,000 is all well and fine. But when you think about that in the context of how much that is as a proportion of the total money someone makes, even in a minimum wage, it's it's not much. And so I think if the government wants to incentivize work, what they should be doing is creating decent jobs that offer good wages and good working conditions to ensure that we support people to enter education by making our tertiary education free and making sure that we support people who are having to do things like unpaid placements that put a huge burden on their ability to finish their courses, as opposed to these blunt tools that the government is introducing that will do nothing to actually incentivize people going into work when there are not enough jobs available.
And if the Green Party is to support initiatives to help young people into work and independence, what would that look like?
The Green Party is committed to putting a green jobs guarantee that will create tens of thousands of jobs in the construction and manufacturing sector. We've got a plan for that called our Green Industrial Strategy that people can check out. And we're also committed to ensuring that our safety net allows people to live above the poverty line to give them the tools and the means to meet their aspirations. We're also committed to supporting our vocational education institutes and your universities so that young people who are pursuing education can do so in a way that doesn't get them into debt and into hardship.
All right, moving on to the Associate Education Minister, David Seymour, announced a change to how the government contracts school attendance services to increase capacity to reach chronically absent students. What was the Green Party's reaction to this announcement by David Seymour?
It's all well and fine to have a fund to support people who may be struggling to connect with their schools, but I think what this misses out on is addressing the core drivers that may be leading people to not be attending school. So, for example, that's the unmet needs of neurodivergent and disabled learners who are currently facing a shortage of adequate support. It's also addressing issues like poverty, where you've got young people who are having to take up work in order to support their families. And so having someone who's just simply checking up on them want to address some of these more socioeconomic barriers that students face that means that they're not showing up to school or that they don't feel like school is a setting that actually reflects their needs and aspirations.
Do you think this approach tackles the root causes of why students aren't showing up to school?
Absolutely not, because in many cases, and even from my frontline experience before being an MP and working with people who may be transient homeless or who have dependents who are physically ill, for example, the reality is that issues like poverty, inequality, the unmet needs of disabled and neurodivergent students are some of the core drivers that may be leading to people feeling like school isn't simply a place of learning for them. And we've also got to address the reality that without adequately supporting our teachers and the staff that works at the school, we've got now more students per teacher. And that in and of itself also impacts the quality of the education system. And we know that teachers want to do their best, which is also why addressing teacher to student ratios and the conditions of teachers is essential to ensuring that kids feel like school is a place for them where they want to belong, where they want to learn and grow their skills.
The government's goal is for 80% of students to attend school more than 90% of the time by 2030. Does the Green Party share a similar vision for education, and what would the Green Party prioritise to reach these numbers?
Look, we absolutely support having a goal of people feeling like school is a place of belonging, where school is a place of developing your skills, but where we would be heading rather than through initiatives like the one that David Seymour is putting forward is addressing issues like poverty. And we've got a Ending Poverty Together plan that we put out last election. It's about ensuring that people have warm, safe, dry homes. And it is about investing in learning support initiatives that help meet the needs of disabled and neurodivergent students who are often being left behind by our education system.
Moving on to the last topic, on Monday, the Green Party conducted a public interview with the families of three New Zealanders detained as part of the Sumud flotilla headed to Gaza. During the interview, Chloe Swarbrick called on the government and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon to ensure their safe return and also move towards sanctions against Israel. Then yesterday, Foreign Minister Winston Peters' Auckland home was vandalised as part of a protest to the government's stance on Gaza. What was the Green Party's reaction to the vandalisation of Peters' home, and what did you make of his comments to blame what he described as the radical left?
Well, there's two things here, right? Is that Winston Peters is making assertions in relationship to the motives of the person who vandalised the home, where that information hasn't been yet confirmed. That is sitting with the police. So I think it's irresponsible to be trying to link those two issues together. What we've also seen yesterday in the House is New Zealand First making jokes and laughing about the crowbar incident at Winston Peters' home, and they can't have it both ways, where they're trying to both draw attention to the seriousness of a home being vandalized and then using that as a joke for political attacks. At the core of all of this, though, is the need to center Palestinians who are experiencing a genocide, an ongoing genocide, and three New Zealanders, Rana, Yusuf, and Samuel, have put their livelihoods at risk to deliver aid to Gaza and actually break through the illegal blockade that is preventing aid from saving the lives of countless of Palestinians. We're really stoked to see Rana, Yusuf, and Samuel making their way back home safely, and we look forward to the next round of people going in a flotilla to try and deliver aid to break this illegal blockade.
Like you mentioned, since the Green Party interview, the Foreign Minister has announced that the three New Zealanders are expected to board a bus to Jordan today and then will be free to return home. What is the Green Party asking the government to do as the next step?
What the government should have done quite some time ago, to put sanctions on Israel as a consequence for the genocide that they are complicit in driving, to ensure that we start breaking those economic ties with Israel as well, as a way to putting pressure on Israel to stop this genocide. I mean, even for example, as we are seeing peace negotiations happen, Israel hasn't stopped the shelling and bombarding of Gaza, which is effectively continuing to kill countless of Palestinians. And so we've got to remember that despite all these peace negotiations happening, Israel has not agreed to stop the killing of Palestinians. And so our government has a duty and a responsibility to prevent genocide, a legal obligation even, that they are not fulfilling right now.
Chloe Swarbrick as well said that New Zealand has a legal obligation under international law to prevent genocide. Do you think New Zealand is failing in that obligation?
We are absolutely failing in our obligation to prevent a genocide. We're finding ourselves on the wrong side of history, and that is going to be a stain on our foreign policy record for a country that has often prided itself in taking bold, brave stands on the international stage to stand up for justice and for peace. And why this should matter to us is that the moment that countries like ours stop taking action to prevent a genocide, the more the world then becomes an unsafe place, because you're seeing less important players who do have influence in the diplomatic stage like our country does, despite being small, not being an active voice towards peace and justice. And if tensions were to rise up in our region, we would be in a much weaker position to demand the very same thing that Palestinians are asking for us because of our poor track record on this issue.
And just finally, how would you respond to critics who say sanctions could damage international relationships?
I don't think we should care much about the international relationships we have with Israel. I think what we are seeing, if anything, is the damaging of our reputation on the global stage when it comes to issues like the recognition of Palestinian statehood, like the lack of action that we have seen from our government to genuinely put in place measures to prevent a genocide. We've got plenty of trading partners we could be engaging with. Israel should not be one of those. And until they demonstrate that they are committed to not just ending a genocide, but to put in place reparations to basically return the land that they have stolen from Palestinians, I don't think our government should be giving Israel any of the good faith that our government currently is doing, both when it comes to trade, but also diplomacy.
That was Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez-March talking to us about the government's initiatives aimed at moving young people off the benefit, the vandalization of Winston Peters' Auckland home, the actions the government should take against Israel, and David Seymour announcing a change in the way the government contracts school attendance services.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.